This show is intended for informational purposes. You should consult your healthcare professional before starting any type of diet or workout program. Welcome to Under 10 Fitness with your host, Drew Smith. Real conversations with real people that really works. Reach your goals faster without the gimmicks. Get ready for a healthy dose of veggies and iron with Under 10 Fitness.
What's up and welcome to Under 10 Fitness. This is the show where we talk about health and fitness in a way that matters to you. No tricks, no gimmicks, no fat loss fads, magic pills, or saran wrap body wraps. You know the ones. Promise you'll lose 10 pounds in 5 minutes. Just wrap this around your body. That laughter you hear there is Mr. Marquise Moore. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. I'm looking forward to talking to you because, well, first I want to tell the story of how I met you. Okay. Basically, you know, I'm just in the gym working out.
Right.
And I'm a pretty chatty guy. And so are you, I've come to find out. And we were just using the squat rack next to each other. Come to find out, you're a world-class athlete, professional boxer, doing your thing. Just an everyday Joe, though, working out at the gym next to me. So, you know, what brought you to Colorado Springs in the first place?
What brought me to Colorado Springs was the United States military. Served as a world-class athlete. And it was quite an adventure. Like it's like we just talking not too long ago. It's not a job, man. The military is definitely not a job, but you still can do what you love to do and still serve your country as well. You know, a lot of people just think, you sign your life away. That's it. You know, you can't do nothing. You know, you in a box or in a cage. But I mean, it's not true. You know, necessarily, but it's definitely not a job neither. It's a life commitment. You know, so. I'm glad that I was able to serve, you know, with the greatest army in the world. I was glad to be a part of that. And now that I'm out, you know, I'm seeking my, you know, I guess dreams and I'm doing a lot of other things, man, a lot of stuff, you know.
And I'd like to talk about what you're doing, and I want to discover more about you, though, and your in childhood and growing up and your passion for boxing. But first, I want to say thank you for serving. Okay. We live in Colorado Springs here. There are 3 military bases,
right.
And we absolutely support our military. So thank you very much for your service.
Mm-hmm.
So,
welcome.
Growing up, you liked to box. It was a pastime of yours. Well, what was that like?
Well, I'm not going to say I liked it necessarily because I actually hated it. I liked being a spectator and watching it is what I liked. But, my family, it was brought, you know, passed down to me. My father, he boxed. Then my uncle, he boxed, you know, so it was like I was the one that had all the talent, all the skill. You know, it just was passed down to me, and my father made me do it. He drilled it into me. I used to like watching it. So I think that's how he kind of baited me in, you know. He'd make me watch it, and I love watching it. I enjoy it, you know. And, you know, watching Ali, watching Sugar Ray Leonard, watching all the greats, all the legends. And then one day he just said, all right, put on some boxing gloves. So I put them on, and I like, you know, hitting the mitts and all that stuff. So... And long story short, I got into a fight in school, and I was about, sixth grade, fifth grade, something like that. And he said, you gonna fight, you gonna do it right. And so I got home again, and he made me put on some gloves, but this time it was contact. We was sparring. He was hitting me. I was trying to swing and hit him. I mean, then I start crying. You know, I'm a kid. I'm probably only 11 years old, 10 years old. He would always, you know, train me and, you know, show me different combinations when I was 9 years old. But, I mean, I didn't think it was going anywhere. I didn't think I was really going to get to the level that I'm at now, you know. So I definitely didn't like it. But he drilled it in me so much till I learned to love it.
Now, was boxing used as a way to just kind of mold you and shape you and teach you some morals and respect? Or how was boxing involved?
Well, I'm definitely going to say without this sport, I wouldn't be the person I am today. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't have met half the people I met. I wouldn't have seen half the world I seen. It definitely promotes, you know, broadening your horizons and promotes, you know, building your character and stuff like that. It's definitely a great sport. I say any sport at the end of the day, if you start at the age I started, you'll start to build some character because like we'll be doing now, you know, you got to talk to people. You got to be on camera sometimes. I mean, you definitely learn certain things that you wouldn't have learned just being an ordinary person, just going about your day, you know. So I learned a lot through the sport, you know, and made a lot of good friends, too.
It's not just because boxing is a small part of it. There's right. there's another bigger aspect of it,
right.
Training, and you've got to organize fights. You've got to get a manager. So there's a lot of different aspects that come together.
Oh, it's the hardest sport on record.
Now, so your dad kind of got you into it. So did you box professionally or amateur on an amateur level before you joined the military?
Yes, sir. I okay, coming up, like I said, I was about 9 years old where he actually started showing me and training me. And I love, like I said, I love being a spectator. I love, you know, training. But when it came to actually physical contact and punching and getting hit back, and that's the part that wasn't fun for me. So after a while, I just started to become, I guess you could say, I don't want to say crazy, but I started to really, really like to get hit. I started liking to get hit, and I started liking to hit people back, you know. So I guess you have to embrace it. Like I was telling you about my brand, you know, you just got to embrace the pain, you know. It was nice where I would cry because my hand was hurting or my mouth was hurting or, you know, something was fractured in my hand or, you know, it just, I was always hurting, you know, I didn't like that part, but, he definitely made me like it, you know, so after a while it started to become fun, you know, when you start getting on a certain level in anything you do and you start to get a certain level of respect in the sport, it starts to become more fun than pain.
So when was your first fight in the ring, with somebody that you can remember?
My first fight, I was about 11 years old. Yeah, I was 11 years old. And I fought a guy from Baltimore, Maryland, in the Mayor's Cup. I think that was actually my fourth fight, but that's my most memorable fight.
Yeah, I'm asking you to take it way back and remember something a long time ago.
Yeah, because I was about 11 years old, and I remember that fight because I got hit with a shot that when I first got hit that hard, it's like I was seeing stars. I was wobbly. I mean, I still won the fight. It was a good fight, you know, but he hit me with a right hand, I think it was, and I never felt that way. That was the first time I ever felt like that, you know, so I definitely remember that fight, you know. Definitely. That was the shot that I always remember. That I first got hit with. So
did that kind of spark you to maybe step up your game a little bit when you realized, hey, these guys are going to hit me back?
Yeah, you getting hit back. I mean, you know, the first two, you know, your first fight, your second fight, maybe your third fight, you're not fighting guys who champion of the world or who can, you know, really fight. I mean, they like ordinary, they pretty much ordinary guys like yourself. You know, you learning, you know, you guys are learning, you building up your experience in the ring. So I really couldn't say that I was hit with something that I could remember. But once you start stepping it up in competition, or, you know, you have some trainers that want to test the fighter. They want to see how would they be if they was to get hit hard, or if they was to get dropped or knocked out, how would they react? You know, so I guess that was kind of my step up. And the guy had more fights than me too, you know, a little bit more experience, but I still won. And I proved that I can be tough. I proved that I can, you know, be amongst the best in my area at that time, you know. So it was definitely the fight to remember. It was in the D.C. Mayor's Cup.
Now, is that something that the city puts together? Because it sounds like the mayor's involved.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. It's called the D.C. Mayor's Cup. I haven't fought in 8 years, though, man, since... What was that? I would say about 2003, 2004 or something like that. So I haven't fought in so long, so I don't know how they do it now. But yeah, you get a big cup, like a big trophy. It's really like signed by the mayor and all that. So yeah, it's a big thing.
Now I'm curious from a standpoint of just a little more on a personal level. Was boxing something like an outlet to you? Was there some kind of I don't know, feelings or emotions you were trying to get out through boxing? Did you ever get in trouble with it as a kid?
Yeah, I mean, boxing, like I said, it was something that, you know, I just liked watching. But after a while, like I said, I started really to like it, you know. So it was definitely an outlet for me. It was something that when kids were outside with their friends, I was inside the house because my father built the gym. I was inside the house punching the bags and hitting speed bags and, you know, working out. So it definitely, like I said, it definitely molds you and builds character, and it was definitely an outlet for me. So I was always kind of a little bit more mature than kids my age, because when they were out partying or doing, even in high school, when they were out, you know, doing crazy stuff and having fun and all that, I was training. I'm in the gym, you know, so I never had really much friends. I never really had that many friends. I just was always in the gym, you know, so the boxing was definitely something that I looked at as an outlet, for when I was, you know, angry about something, or even when I was happy. You know, I would just feel good. I mean, every athlete, not even just boxers, every athlete knows that feeling when you just feel like everything is on point, your timing is on point, you're having a great day, the weather's good, I mean, you're in shape. You just feel like, I don't want to say invincible, but you just feel, man, that feeling is, nothing can compare to that feeling, man. It's a good feeling.
Invincible is a good word. I mean, it's as close to as you can get to describe that feeling, right, that you get when you've just proven to yourself, right, more than anything, that what you're capable of.
Right.
Now, that dedication and that passion for the sport and kind of sacrificing some things as a kid really paid off for you, because
really
you took it to a professional level. And I want to dive into that and talk about where you ended up with your boxing career. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Marquise Moore, professional boxer, here on 93.9 KCMJ.
Under 10 Fitness is social. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Under 10 Fitness.
And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ, round number two with professional
round
boxer.
Two, ding, ding.
Yeah, I say that like I know what I'm talking about. But honestly, you know, boxing, it's kind of foreign to me. I don't know a lot about it, so I'm looking forward to learning more through you.
Yeah.
Now, you boxed as a kid, but then you also boxed in the military as part of the,
right,
world-class athlete program.
Right.
What was that like?
Oh, like I said, it was definitely a good adventure. You know, I got to see a lot more of the world. I got to meet, you know, I just got to meet some good people, you know, in and out the ring, you know. So it was definitely a great experience, and I got to do some things as far as mentoring other kids my age or younger, you know, that weren't on the right path, or they were on the right path, but I would kind of just give them my experience and what I did and how I overcame certain things, or how I'm fighting certain things right now, you know. And they would, we would actually sometimes go on trips where we had to talk to different kids, whether they had colleges or whether they had high school or retention schools, or, you know, and just let them know that because you go in the Army, you know, your life isn't over. Trying to convince them to get on the right path or to stay on the path that they on. So it was definitely a great experience, man. They always make sure you're in shape. I give them that. Like, you always gonna be in shape in the Army. It ain't gonna be no, you know, you relax and taking too many breaks, you know, so they're going to keep you on point.
Yeah, in addition to training for boxing, you've got to, mm-hmm, train to be in shape for should the Army need you to,
right,
to serve and,
right,
and go to war.
Right.
You got to be in shape for that.
Always.
Now, so there's a couple misconceptions here. One with the sport boxing itself, that it's,
right,
kind of a violent sport.
Right.
And then also with the military that you touched on briefly, that you got to do a lot of outreach while you were in the military,
right,
as well.
Right.
Could you talk on that for a minute and describe what you did?
Okay, we would go to different schools and pretty much do demos and, you know, let people know a little bit more about the sport, because like you said, a lot of people think, oh, it's brutal, you know, it's crazy, you're just getting punched in the head. Really, actually, you know, I was taught as a child that how a person fights is how they are in life. So I didn't understand that. You know, people always say boxing isn't a sport, it's a way of life. And I you know, I didn't understand it. But the older and older I'm getting, it's true, because you got to change the way you eat, you got to change the way you sleep, the people you're around. You just got to live right if you want to last in the sport and continue to be on a high level. So we would do demos, and I would tell kids, like, the way a person fights is the way they are in life, because right now you have some opponents where you can punch on them all day, you can hit them, and they don't have no fight. They don't have no fight in them. They won't swing back. I mean, the ref will have to stop the fight. Then you'll have some guys where, you know, they won't fight you in the beginning, but you're hitting them and you keep hitting them, then they just go crazy. They'll come back fighting like you hit their mama or something, you know? So that's how people's temperament levels are in life, because right now, you know, I probably can hit you and you probably won't hit me back.
No, I'd be passed out on the ground.
Right, but some people, you hit them and they'll come back hard, you know? So that's just how life is. You know, I would give examples of how boxing can relate to life and how it changed me. So, you know, I would tell them that, like, just because a test gets hard, or just because, you know, you got suspended, or just because something bad happened in your schooling, or any, even in your career, you have to come back fighting. You have to come back hard, not physically fighting, but mentally, you know, whether it's on pen and paper or whether it's what you're doing, you know, you bringing the best guys to your radio station. You know, whether it's just you talking, whether it's just you writing, I mean, whatever it is, whatever way you can fight back, that's how you have to do in life, you know, because in the sport, you don't fight back, you're going to lose. You're not going to get no respect in the radio show biz, you know, in the radio biz. If you don't bring in anybody to talk to, you're going to lose your job, you know. So
it could be me talking to the wall. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I just showed that, you know, it's definitely not just a sport, it's a way of life. And the way you conduct yourself in the ring and the actual competition is pretty much how you are in life, your temperament level, you know. It shows whether you have fight in you and if you don't.
You can relate it back in a very specific way to how we act and how we approach things in life. Now, with the sport of boxing, you know, it's portrayed on television and through media. It's two guys that hate each other. They're rivals. How does that play out in the actual sport? Is there some kind of camaraderie within the sport? Do you know other boxers?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, like I said, in the sport, I definitely met a lot of top guys that's millionaires, guys that's, you know, always mainstream, that's on TV. I mean, I know a lot of these guys, you know, I can talk to them right now, you know, on the phone, but it's like, at the end of the day, it's all entertainment. It's all business. So I tell people sports and entertainment, to me, is the same field. It's the same thing. It's all entertainment. So with that being said, you'll have two guys, like right now, they were to set up a match with me and you. They'll say, Marquise, man, tell him you hate him, or tell him, you know, you're going to hit his mother, or just something crazy, just to see how you're going to react. And if you react in a crazy manner, that's good, because now that's promoting what they're trying to do. They're trying to set up a fight with me and you. So now that's going to promote, you know, more and more. It's going to go on TV. It's going to go on radio stations. It's going to get on social media. It's going to get everywhere. And pretty soon now you got thousands and thousands of people that know we don't like each other. Now you got people saying, oh, I'll pay to see those guys fight. I'll pay to see them knock each other head off. You know, so now they have action now. They can like, up, ching, ching. Now we see dollar signs, you know. So now it's like you actually really probably hate me. But me, I know what my people just told me, you know, on the business side. They just told me to say, you know, I hate your mother or I hate you. And now you playing right into it. So now it's this big thing, and it's going to gross up so much money because people know we really hate each other. And it's going to make, you know, buku dollars, because people are going to come support it. They're going to come fly out, wherever the fight is, in Las Vegas, New York City, California. They're going to come support it, you know. So that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, and I mean, most people understand that it's a sport, and they're doing that for fun and jest.
Right.
And I imagine that there's a lot of friends within the organization, and there probably are some people that really don't like each other as much. I mean, you know, it's you're dealing with people. There's emotions, and on top of that, you're hitting each other.
I mean,
right?
I always tell people that when people say, "Oh man, it's just a sport," or "We just sparring," or "It was just a fight," it always gets personal when it involves physically damaging a person, physically hitting a person. It always is emotional. I don't care what nobody says, because it's not a day where, you know, you just like getting punched in the face and or getting knocked out or dropped or something like that. I mean, it's not fun. It's not a fun thing, you know. So It's definitely some on some level. It's personal.
Yeah. So how many fights have you been in? What's your record?
Right now I haven't had my first professional fight yet. We looking at a date in May. But I'm definitely done with the amateurs. But I had about 160 fights in the amateurs. I won a numerous amount of titles. I won the Golden Gloves in 2013. I won the World Golden Gloves, the International Gloves in 2013. I won the 2014 Golden Gloves. I won the 2015 PALS. But I played second in 2012 USA Championships. That's just titles in my open career, but that's not even counting the titles I won as a junior or coming up. In the JOs and the juniors, I won the Junior Olympics, won the Silver Gloves, won the Junior Golden Gloves. I won some titles, you know. So it's like I've been doing this, man. It's pretty easy to me, you know. It's hard, but it's easy at the same time.
Yeah, it's your lifestyle, and you did a lot of it in the military. Did you spend most of your military career boxing?
Yes. I was in Baltimore. I was at Fort Meade for a little bit, and I did my MOS, which is 92 Alpha. And then I pretty much wanted to do more, you know. So when I heard that I can be a world-class athlete and do what I love to do, then I took them up on that offer. And it was great, man. It was a good experience for life.
And how many years or how long did that last?
2 years. I stayed with the world-class athlete program for 2 years.
And then, so what's your military career now? Are you retired from the Army or...
You can say that. I'm out now. I'm a civilian. You know, once you get those DD-214s, I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, you're just on call, you know, depending on what happens, you know, with the U.S. and whatever they got going on. But
are you a active reserve or a reserve?
Inactive reserve.
Inactive reserve. Yeah. And that means that if something – so you don't have to report like a reservist to
nope.
the – 2 weekends a year.
I pretty much get called with the civilians.
Got it.
When they start calling you, that's when
okay.
I come in. We'll probably be side by side together, and I'll be
all
showing
right.
you how to, you know, break down the M16 or M4, you know, and stuff like that, you know, making sure you sharp on your weapons.
Well, if there is a draft, I want you to be on my side there. teach me and show me the ropes. But we're going to take a quick break here, but then we'll come back and talk more about your career in boxing. And again, I'm talking with Marquise Moore, spent a lot of time in the military, and is on his way to the professional arena in the world of boxing. So thank you for joining me on Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Under 10 Fitness, giving tips, tricks, and motivation when it comes to health and fitness.
And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness, where we talk about health and fitness in a way that matters to you. I am sitting in the studio with Marquise Moore, who fought for the WCAP program, the World Class Athlete Program for the Army. You did that for 2 years, and then... You know, you've retired from the military, you fought on an amateur level, you've competed in the Olympic trials, and now you've got your first pro fight in May?
In May, yep.
All right, well, congratulations. Is that a big deal to you?
Honestly, it really is, because it's just like another day in the office. Like, how you sitting down right now, you know, how you got the whole radio talk thing, you got it down. I mean, it's simple to you. You know,
it's been a long time coming, so this isn't like one of those stories where you just wake up and you're instantly rich or something. You've been working towards this for a long time, so you saw the light at the end of the tunnel, so you know this was coming. And we're going to talk about, you've got so many great ideas coming up. You want to take over the world, and you really want to help people. You've got some great ideas, and we'll talk about those in a little bit, but on the show for health and fitness here, I want to talk about your training and your diet and jump into that to give a little tips and tricks when it comes to how I can take my training to the next level. So right now, boxing, it's hard. You've got to be strong. You've got to have some cardiovascular agility, health. So and agility as
flexibility.
Well. So what's your training split like, and how do you manage your workout days?
Okay. Well, you've seen some of it personally yourself.
So I know you do strength training. I know you do squats and in the gym and some
lunges,
box jumps.
All that stuff, yep. But, I mean, with boxing, you have to incorporate everything into your training. I know guys who do yoga, ballet, play basketball, I mean, do football workouts. I mean, boxing, there's no limit to what you can do as far as fitness because, I mean, I had to do some crazy things over the years coming up in my 14 years of boxing. I mean, I worked out in Russia. I worked out in Dominican Republic. I've seen different workouts from all different places in the world, you know, and, I mean, I have to do sprints, long distance runs, like 6 miles. Then I did gymnastics for a little bit, you know, people think I'm crazy, but I can still do splits and all that stuff. Even though I have all this muscle on me, I'm still flexible. I mean, I got to have agility. I mean, you got to be able to have good coordination, you know, with your hands and feet and movement. It's very grueling on your body. Even your strength, you have to, although I have all this muscle on me, I have to still maintain my strength, my speed, my reaction time. So you have to do reaction drills sometimes with lights and, you know, it's crazy. So there's no limit to what you can do in the sport of boxing.
Now, let's break it down to a week in the life of Mr. Moore's training program. So let's start with the day number one workout. Is it more strength-based? Is it cardio-based? You're talking about sprints?
Yeah, it's more cardio. On Mondays, I work out twice a day because I feel like, you know, I was working out 3 times a day, but that's kind of overkill for as hard as I train, you know. So a lot of times, a lot of guys would work out more and rest less, which is crazy, you know. And I noticed when I learned that in the Army too, man, you got to take your breaks. You got to, you know, because if you don't, your body just won't perform at 100%. It's impossible, you know. So on like a Monday, I would, you know, I do a distance run in the morning, which is about, you know, 4 or 5 miles. Then I take a break. Then in the afternoon, I do my boxing workout with my trainer down in Denver, which is Anthony Barella of Golden Gloves Charity. I go down there and work out with him. He makes me do 30-30s on the bag, punch counts, which is pretty much building your heart rate up. You're going crazy on the bag. You're throwing nonstop punches. No breaks. You're just going constantly, and all the punches got to be fast and hard, and they just got to keep coming vigorously, you know. So that definitely is a workout. Then I do my sparring with actual contact with an opponent. Let me see.
So on those 30-30s, is that like a 30-second on, 30-second off type of deal, or
no,
what is that?
Well, it's supposed to be that way, but we added a twist to it. You know, I'm all about adding a little twist.
Uh-huh.
So it's 30 seconds hard, fast, you know, crazy. You're just putting everything into it. Then it's 30 seconds of just slow pace.
Oh, so you're never quitting. Okay.
Yeah, it's just slow pace.
Yeah, so burst training. I've heard of this, and it's a similar style.
Yeah.
You go as hard and as fast as you can for a set amount of time, and then you
go
dial
slow.
It back a little bit, go slow. But you never stop. You
never stop.
Wow, so that's pretty intense. And does that round out pretty much day number one after you do the sparring with a partner?
Yeah, after you do the sparring and mitts, you have to also do mitts, a mitt session. Once I do my mitts and once I do my 30-30s and, you know, my sparring, then, you know, I got to stretch good. You have to stretch after every before and after every workout because you keep going hard like that. You know, you start building that lactic acid and you start tensing up. Then you can pull something, pop a muscle, anything. So you definitely have to stretch before and after your workouts.
Yep, you always want to take care of yourself.
Yeah,
that's probably
definitely
one of the most important aspects of it.
It is.
You know, you can't train without it. So what's Tuesday look like? Is that a rest day?
No. Tuesday is a strengthening conditioning day, which you've seen.
Ah. Yes.
Well, with Coach Dennis James at Cobra Boxing and Fitness. That's who I do all my strengthening and conditioning work with. And, you know, that's pretty much me building my strength. You know, the first day of the week is like a cardio week, you know, in my boxing, you know, getting my techniques down and working my heart rate up, you know, cardio. And the second day, which is Tuesday of the week, I work with Coach Dennis James. We build that strength, you know. I mean, at first I would struggle with 205 and 185, you know, but after working with this guy, I'm squatting 280 and 300 pounds. It's easy now, you know, and that's not even my max. So it's like we definitely building strength as I'm losing my weight, as I'm keeping my cardio up. We building strength at the same time.
Yeah, and do you focus a lot of the on like the big lifts, like squats and deadlifts?
Yeah, you gotta do squats. We gotta do deadlifts, but at the same time, like you seen, I'll be doing box jumps as well. I do plyo workouts with them as well.
Yep.
You know, so that's more for like later in the week. You know, Monday and Tuesdays is cardio and strength.
Mm-hmm.
Then Wednesday.
And I'll add on Tuesday. I saw you do that strength, and you did like a split where you did supersets. So you do heavy squats, well, relatively heavy for, you know, 8 to right. 10 rep range, it right. looked like. And then you would jump into some box jumps immediately after, right. no rest in between.
Yeah.
And then you take a little rest and then go back right. to squatting. So you do a lot of superset stuff kind of
yeah,
like that?
I do a lot of that as well. I mean, like I said, there's no limit. We switch it up sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's even times I just do a whole plyometric leg workout where yeah. my leg is just constantly moving and I'm doing what they call split jumps. I'm just doing those for 20 seconds. Then I get over and run over and do leg lifts. Then I run over and do calf raises. I mean, it's just a straight leg workout because we kind of forget, you know, in the sport how important your legs are.
Well, if I understand correctly just how the body and how the whole chain works, your body is it's all connected.
Right.
So you can't neglect one part. And if you strengthen your legs, especially as a boxer, the way you stand and move your body, you can get a lot of power through the legs, up
Definitely.
And out through your arm
Definitely.
With the legs. So you can't neglect the legs.
Definitely can't. And a lot of time, you know, a lot of people forget about the legs because, you know, everyone just sees the upper part of the body, like, oh, he's strong, but look at the legs, you know. So I've been definitely on my legs hard. I've been on those super hard.
Okay, so you finished your strength workout on Tuesday. Is Wednesday a rest day?
No.
Okay.
Back to boxing and cardio.
Okay, so similar to Monday, where you're working on technique
right.
and building the heart rate
and the cardio. Yep.
All right, and then Thursday.
Thursday, then that'll be a plyometric day.
Okay, so back to the gym and some of the big, oh gosh, the power type movements where you're moving those muscles quickly.
Yeah. Quickly now,
yes.
yeah. So Thursday would be more of it'd be more of an explosive day. You know,
okay.
we'll be doing sprints. Once we do our sprints, you know, then we'll be doing, you know, ball throws, and then we'll be doing box jumps. I'll be pulling the sled. It's more of an explosive day with lesser weight, but it's still some good weight on there, and I have to move quick.
And then into Friday?
Then Friday is back to boxing. That'd be more of a relaxed day, Friday, but it's still a pretty good, you know, training session where I'm getting more technique down and focusing more on distributing my weight to get, you know, a harder punch and, you know, trying to think. It'll also be more reflex. You know, he'll throw the ball at me. I have to slip and move, or he'll be doing the mitts with me. I mean, mitts is good for your timing and the reflexes.
And that's when your coach is holding
right.
the mitts. That's the famous scenes that we see
right.
in all the movies when the boxer's
right.
training. The coach has got the mitts on, and the
right.
boxer is punching the mitts.
Definitely.
Okay. And then Saturday, are we under a rest break yet?
And Saturday, no. We just do a distance run Saturday.
Okay. Well, I imagine a distance run would be good because after all of this hard work, you really need to get the blood flowing to,
right.
to get all those nutrients into the muscles that
right.
you've just totally demolished Monday through Friday.
Definitely.
So that helps bring the blood flow and all the nutrients, vitamins, minerals back to the muscle so they can
right.
repair themselves. So a distance run on Saturday, and then what's Sunday look like?
And Sunday is more of just stretching all day, soaking in a hot tub with Epsom salt and, you know, and foam bubbles and just relaxing my muscles. I might even get a massage that day, depending on how tight I am. But I definitely Sunday, you know, take a rest, stretch my muscles all day, and be ready for Monday.
So it's more of an active rest day.
Yeah.
So when I think rest day for the typical average gym goer like myself, it's like I'm sitting on the couch.
Right.
But a rest day to an athlete like yourself, and it should be for everybody,
right,
more of an active approach where you are stretching the muscles and really taking care of the body in a flexibility standpoint.
Drinking that water. You definitely gotta stay hydrated. So through all this, through the week, I'm staying hydrated because, I mean, without that hydration, your body starts feeling fatigued, you start feeling sleepy or tired all the time, or your muscles just can't perform the way they should or you need them to, depending on what you're doing or what kind of workout you're doing. You know, it's been times I didn't drink enough water and was lifting weights and my muscle will cramp up, then I can't use it, or it's just crazy. So you definitely have to stay hydrated, and you definitely, I don't know, you know, what people use, but I normally use CLA, you know, for my muscles. And
what is that again?
CLA. That's it's like a supplement. It's almost like fish oil where it gives you the minerals your muscles need, pretty much. That's all it is. And it also helps you with your metabolism. And it helps you maintain your frame without looking small. So, like, say if right now you walking around 180 pounds and you got to get to 160.
Right.
That's how boxers lose their weight. People be like, man, you guys lose weight so quick, but you still look big. We lose the weight, but it's a lot of water weight. Even though you're losing some actual fat, we work out so hard and, you know, and it's grueling on your body, definitely, but we lose at least 15 pounds. Some guys even lose 20 pounds, you know, within 2 weeks, which ain't healthy, you know, but, you know, you get it done because you got to make that weight on the scale, you know, or you're going to pay for it pretty much.
Right, but you could go potentially gain that 15 pounds back quickly. Yeah, like 2 days later, right?
And CLA helps you maintain your frame.
And that's CLA?
Yep, CLA.
And, okay, so that's probably an abbreviation for some type of whatever's in it.
It is like some chain amino acids.
Okay, all right, yeah. So now, what does your diet look like as far as getting all the nutrients you need?
Okay, so when I'm cutting, when I'm actually losing weight and trying to be, and at the same time I have to be healthy so I can perform and still train, I eat a lot of green, like I'm talking about kale. I'm just eating a lot of green, man. Any green leafy vegetable I'm eating.
Yeah, we're talking spinach, leeks, broccoli, kale.
That's my favorite, spinach.
Yeah,
spinach and kale. But I put those in a shake sometimes because, you know, sometimes we don't have time to cook and sit there and steam all this stuff and cook all this. So I just buy some organic kale, organic baby spinach or spinach, and I just put it in my shakes, and I make sure I have it with all my fruits as well. You know, good anti-inflammatory, natural anti-inflammatories like blueberries, pineapples, some strawberry, blackberries. I'm trying to think.
Any kind of berry you can get your hand on. Yeah.
Yeah, I pretty much put all those in my shake because that's good for, like, you know, swelling and tendonitis and stuff like that, you know. So I put all that in my shake. I grind it up. I put some milk in there as well. But I stay away from dairy, like regular vitamin D milk and all that stuff. I drink almond milk. I put all that in my shake, man, and I drink that about, I say, twice a day, in the morning and at night before I go to bed.
Now, do you add any protein powder or anything else in there?
No, I'm pretty much natural now.
Yeah.
Man.
So almond milk, which has got a little bit of protein in it. Then you just throw in your leafy greens, whether it's kale or spinach.
Coconut water as well.
Oh, coconut oil. Yeah.
Coconut water. I drink that.
Oh, coconut water.
Water.
Yeah.
I drink that a lot because that has like 10 times more potassium than a banana. A lot of people don't know that, but coconut water is better for potassium than a banana.
And potassium does help with those muscle cramps as well. Yeah.
Definitely.
That'll help avoid some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And then what do you do for the bulk of your protein?
For my protein, I'm eating chicken.
Chicken.
I eat a lot of chicken.
Yep.
And, you know, I wasn't a firm believer of beef, like 100% Angus beef, but you definitely have to get that protein in as far as that beef. You know, that's pretty good. At night, I tend to eat chicken, like chicken salads, where I get a lot of chicken in. It's more grilled chicken. Never really too much eat, you know, chicken with a lot of fat on it. But I eat the grilled chicken when I'm trying to cut weight and still be healthy.
Yeah.
You know, so I eat chicken salads at night, because at night you got to eat lighter. You can eat good and still have a good full stomach, but you have to eat light food at night, you know, closer to when it's time to go to bed. And I normally go to bed about 10 o'clock.
All right. And how much sleep do you try to get on average?
He's about to be two. My son is about to be two in July. So I have a youngster, man. So, you know, you don't get sleep with the kids.
Okay.
But I at least realistically try to get at least 6-7 hours of sleep.
All right.
Because
sleep is important, too.
It's very important.
Yeah.
And your body won't perform if you don't sleep.
Right. So,
you know.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Hopefully we didn't give away too many tricks to your opponents that you're going to be fighting.
Right.
But let's take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk more about what you're trying to do. I know you've got a nonprofit organization you're trying to start and your brand. So we'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about Marquise Moore and how he is going to save the world right here on Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ.
Save the world.
Everything discussed on this show can be found at under10fitness.com. That's under10fitness.com.
Welcome back to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. You can stream online at kcmj.org. Tons of local programming here in Colorado Springs. This is Under 10 Fitness, where we talk about health and fitness in a way that matters to you. My name is Drew Smith. In the studio is soon-to-be professional boxer Marquise Moore. You've boxed for 14 years, is that right?
Yep, 14 years.
You boxed for years before, you know, as a junior growing up, and then you boxed for your career in the military, in the Army. And throughout your life and your career, you've talked to a lot of kids, and you've spoke from the heart about your brand and your organization and what you want to do. So first, what is this idea and this brand that you have?
Okay, it's a trademark brand. It's PPSV. It just stands for Perfect Pain, Silent Victory. I noticed through this sport that I get a lot of kids that look up to me, you know, and that actually want to know more about me, not just, you know, in boxing, you know, just in life in general. So I kind of use this gift to give back and to show people that, you know, just because you box, man, this sport, for one, yes, a brutal sport, you know, and it's hard on your body, and, you know, it has some up and downs, but at the end of the day, it builds a lot of character, and it really can help you, you know. It really could change your life situations as far as finances or just you meeting the right people, you know. So this sport has definitely, you know, been hard, but it's also been good to me as well. So I try to promote that a lot when I talk to kids, that boxing is, it's not just a sport, it's a way of life, like we talked about earlier. So with that being said, when I talk to them, I tell them to embrace everything they've been through. You know, that's what the Perfect Pain stands for. It's just pretty much embracing all the pain you've been through, because me coming up, you know, I came up in an area where, you know, you gotta be tough, or, you know, you get picked on, or, you know, so it's like, I know how that feel. And I actually had friends that was very insecure like me. And, you know, and I mean, I wouldn't talk about this years ago, but I'm strong enough now. I know where I'm at now. And I just embrace everything I've been through, you know, as far as being bullied, teased, or, you know, I mean, it's hard, you know, as a kid, when you're still growing yourself and you don't understand life and certain things, you know. So I kind of now just tell a lot of kids to embrace everything they've been through and be happy about it. You know, don't feel bad about what you've been through, because it molds you into the person you are today. So everything you've been through is it sounds crazy, but it's actually a good thing, because it makes you a better person. And some people just don't know how to deal with certain things. So that's why they become worse than what they are, or, you know, because they never had somebody there to help them or to coach them through life and tell them, really, it's good you went through that. Now you can show the world that because you went through this, how strong you really truly are. Because people have been through some crazy things, man, and they became some of the most powerfulest people in the world, you know. So you can talk to anybody that has status in this, on this planet. You could they've been through something crazy or something real hard where it's like the normal person to crumble or fall or break, but they still was able to prevail and, you know, and do something big. So it actually shows you how strong a man or a woman is that can do something like that.
That you can overcome your circumstances.
Yep. And become something bigger and better.
Take what the world has, yep, dealt you, or the hand that you're dealt, and, yep, turn it into something really positive.
Right.
Now, you're speaking from the heart and from personal experience, because you struggled with some of these things, self-confidence, right, self-doubt.
Right.
And you want to open up different centers where kids and adults can meet the adult who has been through it,
right,
like yourself,
right,
and the kid who is going through it, and foster that learning experience.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, what do you see this building into? Is this something that you want to start locally? Do you want to take it nationally?
I always feel like before you can do something big or nationally or worldwide, you have to capture your local community first. You have to start it on a smaller scale. I mean, it's very rare some, you know, you get an idea and it just shoot off and it become a hit, you know. So I want to see how it goes locally first, you know, because, you know, a lot of people, they just get tied up into what they doing, or, you know, into their sport or into their career or their profession, whatever they choose to do. And they forget about the youth. They forget about the people who got them to where they are. So I would rather start local and start somewhere small. Like I said, right now, it's something bigger than what I'm doing, bigger than the sport, bigger than what we talking about now. It's something that I want to do on a bigger scale, and I got a couple people that's going to help me, and they are helping me right now, you know. So, I'm just looking to use this gift that was given to me to better the community and better, you know, the youth, because the youth is really the future, you know. So I just know the things that I've been through, and it's sad to see a child, you know. I've known a kid that was, when I was younger, he looked up to me, man. At the time I was like 16, you know. And, that's when I started getting good in the sport, you know. And this kid, he was only 9 years old, you know, and I would always hold mitts for him or show him different things, but he was, you know, he had a bad situation in life. You know, his parents, you know, were, you know, they were split up, father in and out of jail. You know, his mother wasn't take care of him and on drugs. You know, it was just crazy. And this kid was actually talking about killing himself. When I seen that, and I'm like, he 9 years old talking about killing himself, trying to kill himself, you know, on pills, you know, painkillers. You know, it was crazy. So when you keep hearing stories like that and you know what you've been through, because I know I was very insecure coming up. I never had friends. You know, my mother used to tell me it's okay. That's just, you know, your mother, you know, she supposed to encourage you, you know. So that's very, really a situation that hits me very hard, because when I've seen people like that, I've seen kids like that young trying to kill yourself. It's crazy, you know. So I would do, if I can do anything to help, you know, the youth, like a child like that, you know, just to uplift their spirits, I would do it, because that's crazy, you know.
And that's something that you've been able to create on kind of the back end of your career through,
right,
boxing.
Through the sport,
You've been able to get out into the community. You're somewhat of a celebrity in the world of,
yeah,
boxing, so you have access to a
mini
big viewership. Yeah.
Mini celebrity. Trying,
right,
to come up, you know.
A little baby mini celebrity,
right,
out there. But you've really used it as a platform to be able to show kids and showcase how you can kind of turn the corner, right?
Right.
And turn something that's potentially very painful, so that's that perfect pain part,
right,
into something very positive. Now, about the brand.
The Silent Victory, I'm sorry, but
yeah,
Silent Victory, the other half of it is, right now, if I didn't know you, if you never told me anything, or I never read it on in the papers or seen it on TV. I wouldn't know anything about you. It's a silent victory. So as we go about our day-to-day lives, we see people that maybe have status or have money, or they might be poor and broken on the street. But everybody has a story. Everybody is overcoming something or have overcame something. So it's a silent victory, because whatever they overcame, you won't know about it until they tell you, or until you have some evidence that they went through what they went through, you know. So it's a silent victory, man. You know, we don't know anything about anybody unless they tell it like I'm telling it, you know. So that's pretty much, you know, wrap up the brand. That just pretty much, that's what my brand is all about, man. It's about people who've been through something, which everyone has been through something or are overcoming something as we speak.
Yeah, and you don't know that.
Right.
You step out of your door right now, and you get in your car, and you drive down the street. You're going to pass numerous other drivers, and you have no idea what they've been through and what their silent victories have been.
Right.
Now, was this something that you've always wanted to do as far as outreach, or is this something that sparked this inside of you?
It sparked it because, like I said, I compare this sport to a way of life, because it really is. I'm just now understanding when they say boxing is not a sport, it's a way of life, because I've seen in the sport, you know, I've done some pretty good things, you know, had some pretty good accomplishments, but I felt as if they were always kept silent. You know, I felt like, man, like, okay, I just won this, I just won that, I just won this, you know, and I wouldn't get the clout, or I wouldn't get the attention that I thought I should have gotten, you know. So that kind of sparked it, because I'm like, okay, I'm putting in all this hard work. It's been days I've been in the gym on my own where it's silent, no music, nobody in the gym, and it's hard as hell. I'm sorry, you know, for my language, but it's hard as hell. I'm in a gym where nobody's in there, nobody's there to motivate me, nobody's there to play any music, nobody's there to keep my time for me. I'm just in the gym, silence. Only thing that's my friends is the bags in the gym. You know, it even came to a point where I had to have my lady and my son come in the gym with me just to have somebody in the gym with me, you know, to motivate me. So it's like, that sparked it. But I said, you know what, I always been like that in my life. You know, some people are just loners, you know, they loners, man. And that's because you are different. That's because you're a leader. That's because you don't follow the norm. You don't follow what everybody else does. You different. You really a leader, so you walk alone. And that's another thing I tell a lot of kids. I even tell my baby that. I make sure I tell him, you know, he always good. He's always number one, you know, no matter what, as long as you try hard, you know. So that's pretty much, you know, been my whole life, just being a loner, you know. So I had to embrace that. Once I embraced that feeling, being alone, I was able to win continuously. I just kept winning because I love, after a while, being to myself. I embraced it. So that's what I feel like a lot of kids have to do, and a lot of people who's going through certain things, they have to embrace the feeling that they feel and accept it, you know. So that's pretty much all I do now, man. I embrace, you know, if no one's in the gym or nobody there to motivate me, okay, that's fine, we still gonna get it done.
You find that internal motivation.
Right.
Yeah, there's something bigger than you driving you, kind of.
Right.
In an aspect of it. Now, with this the center or this Perfect Pain Silent Victory organization that you're building, would it be an actual physical location where kids could
definitely
come, and they could maybe get that praise that for that silent victory of that thing that they've overcome, where they can actually get, you know, some coaching or
I mean, and like you said, I would call it coaching and mentoring, because like, I didn't go to school for psychology, you know. I'm not a psychologist, but I'm just going off of personal experience and what I've been through and the things that I've seen that I actually know myself from other people or other peers I had, or like I said, for myself, you know. So it has to definitely be physical interaction. They have to feel like they have somebody there. Because I always remember that little boy when I was younger, and you know, I'm a teenager, he looking up to me, and I'm a guy just coming from overcoming, feeling insecure and you know, feeling certain feelings and getting bullied and stuff like that. So I'm just now overcoming this and fighting that and getting over it. And he's going through it. He's getting bullied. He's getting picked on about his clothes. You know, he had a bad living situation at home. Now he's trying to kill himself. And he's only 9 years old. You know, so it has to definitely be physical interaction. You have to definitely feel like you have somebody to talk to. And you have to have someone coach you along the way. You know, because if you don't, yeah, talking on the phone is good sometimes. Yeah, watching TV is good sometimes. But you have to actually have somebody there with you and feel like you have somebody you can lean on, you know?
Now, with this organization, is there a way to get involved? How can I help? Are you selling T-shirts, I think, or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, I'm definitely selling T-shirts to people that can relate. Like I said, it's more than sales. It's more than
Well, you can
my
turn
brand.
Those sales. I mean, if I want to help, I purchase a T-shirt. That's right. going to help you get the money that you need to build this organization,
yeah,
to help the kids.
Keep
so
branding,
it's,
right.
it's one of those things. Like, as wonderful as these organizations are,
right.
in order to run, you need capital.
You need
money
right.
for it. So if I wanted to get involved and buy a T-shirt, how would I? What's the best way to find all that information?
Oh, just go to my page.
A Facebook page or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, my Facebook page, Marvelous Mark.
Marvelous Mark?
Yep. I mean, you know, that's my stage name.
That's
my,
right.
My boxing name. You know, Marvelous Marquise Moore. You just go there. You inbox me your size, you inbox me your shipping address, and my GoFundMe is definitely up. Like I said, I'm getting into building a website now. It's not up yet.
Yeah.
Where
so
you can
you're,
just do
this
direct
is like
sales.
The ground level right,
right
here. Yeah.
Right. Where you could just where I can just start doing direct sales through my website, but right now it isn't up. So you just go to my page at Marvelous Mark, and that's on Facebook, and my actual GoFundMe account will be up. For you to see, to, put in $25, and you just inbox me your address, your shipping address, and your size, and I send it to you.
All right, that's very yep. easy, and it's all about creating this organization to help kids deal with
their problems.
Their
and,
problems.
And
yeah.
Anyway, it's not even just kids; it's anybody because it's adults that feel like life is over, or they. I mean, it's adults that commit suicide. You know, me being in the military, I know guys that they actually. You know, actually done that, or they actually went crazy. You know, I got a friend that he was in the Marines. You know, and he came back home, and you know, both legs gone. You know, and sometimes he go crazy. You know, so it's adults that's the same. We all people, man. You know, whether you young, old, tall, small, or fat, we all the same. You know, so everyone needs somebody to talk to at times. Everyone needs somebody to lean on. You
well.
Know.
I really do appreciate you coming in and sharing with me. We're about out of time, but first, I just want to make let people know where they can find you. So on Facebook, it's Marvelous Marquise Moore.
Yeah, Marvelous Mark. It's spelled different though. My Marvelous is Marvalis. That's Marvelous, and then Mark Marq.
All right.
Yep.
So, and then we can also find out what you're up to as far as stepping in the ring and stuff, so we can follow you there as well.
Yep. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook up under that same name, Marvelous Mark.
And I'm going to make it really easy as well. Under 10fitness.com/boxing, BOXING. Post all the links to your social media.
Right.
And so that people can find you and follow you and get in touch with you if they want to support your cause and buy a T-shirt. Again, my name is Drew Smith, sitting here with Marvelous Marquise Moore,
yep.
Professional boxer here in just a couple months. You're going to step
yep.
in that ring.
Step in that ring.
Well, I'm looking forward to following you. And again, this is Under 10 Fitness. As always, remember, stay motivated.
Under 10 Fitness is your show. Email questions to info@under10fitness.com. That's info@under10fitness.com.